morning. Welcome. Time to take a seat. Now, if you have a spare seat next to you, do you have a spare seat next to you? You can invite someone to come and sit with you who may be down on the deck and wants to come inside. Does anyone have a spare seat inside so we can maximize? Right, there's one there. There's a couple on the couch. If you want to come forward and enjoy a closer experience, the blessings are at the front. That's what they tell me. So, as always, a reminder of our COVID expectations that you've signed in when we came. You're washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you've also washed your hands as well. The washed in the blood of the Lamb thing is really they're both personal choices. They're both things that are good things to do. One is all about salvation. The other one's about safety. They're both important. You're socially distant, and you're loving Jesus. And we welcome you here today. To bring us into worship today, I'm going to read to you from Psalm chapter 40, some selected verses. Before we stand and sing, "Rejoice, rejoice, the Lord is in you." I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me, and He heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let all those who seek you, God, rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, "The Lord be magnified." Let's stand now and sing our first song together.
Rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, His breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we arise. Now is the time for us to march upon the land into our hand. He will give the ground we claim. He rides in majesty to lead us into victory. The world shall see that Christ is Lord. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, His breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we arise. God is at work in us, His purpose to perform, building a kingdom of power, not of words. Where things impossible by faith shall be made possible. Let's give the glory to Him now. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, His breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we arise. Though we are weak, His grace is everything we need. Into our clay, but this treasure is within. He turns our weaknesses into His opportunities, so that the glory goes to Him. rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we arise.
As we remain standing, let there be a whole series of prayers of thanksgiving and praise to God. Rejoice, his breath is in you. Wow. Let's hear those prayers. Just around the room, short prayers of thanks and praise. Hallelujah.
Praise you, God, because you are our rock and our salvation. Thank you, Lord, for loving us all equally.
Thank you, Lord, that you will never leave us or forsake us. Thank you, Lord, for the little miracle we have in heaven.
Our Saviour God, we offer our praise to you because you alone are worthy. Hallelujah. Amen. Please be seated.
Well, good morning, everybody. Great to see your happy faces. I just had a little walk down the back to see if you could see down the back and hear down the back. I hope you feel like you're part of what's happening in here. Oh, good. Thumbs up. We're going to have a Bible reading today, but we're going to have three bits of Bible readings because we're actually going to look at a whole chapter today in the book of Luke. And Levi is going to read us the first reading that comes from Luke, and then we're going to have a break down the track. We're going to look at our second reading, and our third reading today is going to be on a video presentation. But let's start with Luke chapter 15, and Levi's reading to us from verse 1 to verse 7.
Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends, neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you in the same way that there will be more rejoicing in heaven more than one sinner. One repents than over 99 rejoice persons who do not need a repent."
Amen. Thank you, Levi. Now, we're going to have some announcements. Did you know it's November? I can't quite believe that. So when I was putting this slide together, I started with this shattering news that says it's November. Anyway, I'll hand you over to Jess.
Good morning, everyone. So, yeah, it is November. That is full on. I can't believe we're here. So I'm going to let you guys know what's going to be happening and what's coming up. Family fishing. Every second Thursday, so it's going to be this Thursday, the 5th, and it's also on the 19th, from 3 p.m. at Cremunda Park. So that has changed location. So if you guys have come before, it's now in Currumundi instead of at Golden Beach, but you're all more than welcome to come. And it is our Hub Youth Group this Friday, the 6th of November. So it's a combined youth group with all the Sunshine Coast Salvos. And it's for high schoolers. But if you are in the last term of primary school, you can come along. So that's exciting. If anyone has anyone that they know that could come along or knows anyone in high school, you're more than welcome to invite them along as well. Men's breakfast this Saturday, 7:30 to 8:45. They have a guest speaker, Pastor Phil Smith. $5. Speak to James if you have any more information about that. Next Sunday, we're having a special guest, Major Michelle Oliver. She's very excited to come along and chat to us. She has come here before. Last year, I think, Karen? Yeah. So that's good. Sunday the 15th, that is the third Sunday of the month. We will be having our picnic in the park. It's at 12:30. It's also at Cremunda Park as well, which is in Currumundi. So everyone's welcome to come. Bring along your own lunch and we can hang out in the park and, yeah, chat together. It's really nice. Everyone's welcome. The mission stalls are after. After church on the third Sunday as well. So, new exciting thing for our kids, we are going to have a one-night camping adventure in this back hall. So, it's for primary school-aged children. So, that'll be really fun. We're not going to go outside. And we will stay, we'll camp in this space here, but still, it'll be a camping experience, not the real thing. So, yeah, if you have any questions or anything about that, let me know. Also, prayer box is over there. So if you have any prayer requests, you're more than welcome to go over there and write the prayer in and pop it in the box as well. Bye.
Thanks, Jess. Following the sleepover, we're going to have one of our all-in together Sundays where the kids are going to stay in. The kids will participate in our service and hopefully they won't be too weary from their adventure. I'm going to hand over to Brittany. Brittany's going to meet our kids today, do a quick kids time before the kids leave for their church this morning.
All right, well, we don't have the music, so welcome to kids time without the fun music. Do we have any birthdays, lost teeth? No birthdays, no lost teeth. Did anybody do anything exciting this week? Anything exciting? Levi?
I finished my test.
Finished your test? What was the test for?
English and math.
English and math test? Nice. How do you think you did? Good? Doesn't know. Very nice. Sophie?
We might be going to the beach after church.
Nice, going to the beach after church, that's a good idea. All right, well, in a minute, you guys are all going to go out to Kid Zone with Jess, and you're going to be talking about miracles. Yeah, so you're going to be talking about miracles. Some of the coolest stories in the Bible are about miracles. So some really cool ones about Jesus feeding 5,000 people with a couple of pieces of bread and a couple of fish. There's some people who came back to life, who were dead. There's some people walking on water. There's some storms being calmed. And you're going to learn about a whole bunch of stories when you go out to Kids Time with Jess. All right? So we are going to sneak out the back and go around the back. All right?
Hello. Our second Bible reading today comes from Luke 15:8-10. Well, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Amen.
We're going to take up the collection now, and while we do that, we're going to sing a song that we've sung a couple of times over the last couple of weeks. It's a beautiful song, so please join in. Stay seated so it's easy for the collection and stuff to go around, but please join in with the singing, and let's open our lungs and praise God with this fantastic song as the collection's taken up.
Father God, I thank you for your generosity, for your gifts to us, for your love for us. Lord, you are the King of Kings. And today it's a privilege for us to be here, to worship you, to spend this time together. Lord, I just want to think of those who can't gather today, who are still facing restrictions, and places around the world, God, where there's more and more difficulties. Lord, we're blessed, and help us never to take that for granted. Lord, today I just pray that you would continue to be with us and help our keep our focus on you, our awesome God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a third part to our Bible reading, and this is not word for word of this last Bible reading. This is a presentation of the Bible reading, and if you can't see it at the back, hopefully you'll be able to hear it, and we'll put it on our video later. I just wanted to mention too, last week we did a bit of a chat about what's going on here in Caloundra. And for those of you who were here last week, would have seen that this is what's happening, a week in the life of Caloundra Salvation Army. If you didn't see that, It'd be really great. Just want to encourage you to find that. So we've got that on YouTube. And if you need access to that or you'd like your own copy so you can see that, can you let us know later? Because we'd love to include those who didn't see it. So Jan and Brittany were out at kids' time last week. So we said afterwards, hey, you were here but you missed this. So we really want you to be encouraged and know that we think this is fantastic. God's doing great things and we wanted to share that with everyone. So here is part three of our Bible reading today, which is Luke 15. I don't know what verses it is. The last bit.
There was a father who had two sons.
The older son is trustworthy and honors his father.
And the younger son, he's a mess. He rebels and cashes in his inheritance to travel far away and blow it all on partying and being stupid.
And then there's a famine in the land, and he runs out of money. So he has to scrape by taking care of somebody's pigs. And he's so hungry he wants to eat the pig slop, at which point it occurs to him, if I'm going to be a farmhand, I might as well go home and work for my dad. At least I won't be eating pig food. So he treks back home, rehearsing his apology.
Now, the father is certain that his son did not survive the famine. But then, one day, he sees someone walking down the road. It's his son. He's not dead. And so the father runs to him and embraces his son, kissing him all over.
The son starts his speech. Dad, I don't deserve to be your son. Maybe I could come and work for you.
But before he can finish, the father calls his servants to go get the nicest robe, new sandals, a fancy ring for his son. They are to prepare the best food for a banquet. It is time to celebrate.
Now later that day, the older brother arrives from a long day working in the field to discover his long-lost loser of a brother has come home, and they're celebrating?
And he gets angry. And think about it. He's been faithful to his father all of these years. He never got a party like this. And then this disgrace of a family member comes home, and they're going to celebrate him? It's disgusting. He refuses to join the banquet.
So the father finds the older brother outside, and he says,
Son, you are already in our family. Everything I have is yours, but we had to celebrate your brother because he was lost, and now he's found. He was dead, but now he's alive.
Thanks. So Luke 15, we'll get into that, but let me tell you, if you don't know, when I left school, I trained as a teacher. And in my first year of teaching with my wonderful 17-year-old wisdom, I learned a lot of things that I thought I was on top of and I knew all about. But let me tell you one instance where we had to teach one particular subject area using something totally different. So, for instance, we could teach a maths concept using a music kind of thing. Or we could teach something about art using a mathematical concept. So we had to shake these things around and work across different areas. And my task was to teach a maths concept, which is not necessarily my favourite area of the curriculum. And I had to teach it using an English strategy. So I have great memories of this experience. I don't know if everybody else did. But I taught, do you know the concept of greater than and less than? All those, the big arrows. Can you nod if you know what I'm talking about when you put an arrow that points one way or the other? Fantastic. You can all pass year two maths or whatever it is. But because I had to try and teach this, and you can imagine here is a class of about 30 adults, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, some more mature-age students, and I used the concept of a story of a crocodile. Not my original idea at all, but we used the story of a crocodile with a big open mouth. He was a very greedy crocodile. He always wanted more. So wherever he went, he chased the big one. And we had stories and we had a real crocodile, not a real, sorry, a toy crocodile, and we had signs of the greater than, less than sign with a crocodile drawn in it, and had all these adults running around to ponds with 3 flamingos or 10 flamingos. And of course, the greedy crocodile went for the 10 flamingos, and that's the way the sign pointed. Now, it was all a bit of fun, but I learnt this very important fact. If you have something that you need to teach someone, and if you can turn that into a story, and a relatable story and something that is really catchy and something that they can appeals to them, it's more likely that they may remember what you taught. And Jesus here teaches in parables. He often taught in parables. In this particular chapter, Luke 15, we read three parables. But it wasn't a new thing. This wasn't this new literary device that Jesus made up when he started teaching in parables. We can go back through the Bible and see stories, especially from the prophets. One of my favourites is Nathan, the prophet, who says to David, "Ah, I'll tell you a story about a rich man and a poor man. And the rich man had lots of sheep, and the poor man only had one sheep. And the rich man stole the poor man's sheep." And David, I love this response from the Message. "As surely as God lives, the man who did this ought to be lynched. He must repay the lamb four times over for his crime and his stinginess." And Nathan said to David, "You are that man." I love it. So there's parables all the way through. And God used that in 2 Samuel, Nathan's story, to rebuke David. So parables could be used to rebuke, to teach, to correct, to change attitudes. Now, this chapter, written by Luke in three parts, actually four parts, because there's the setting the scene that we read at the beginning. These people are gathered, and here's Jesus. And then the three parables which come. A man who owns 100 sheep and loses one. A woman who has 10 coins and loses one. And then a man who has two sons, and one becomes lost or leaves his father's home. Now, it's no accident and it's not by oversight that these three are recorded here together. Jesus told these three stories. Surely he could have done it with one. So why did he use the three? So today, rather than examining each of these parables in bits and pieces, I wanted to look at them together and compare them. Have a look, and the three things I'm going to ask today is the who, why, and how. So going back to the beginning, who is listening? Who is Jesus talking to? And if you look back into Luke 14, you see the progress of who Jesus was talking to, what was happening with the Pharisees. And in this group, there are two groups of people, actually three groups of people. So the first group, there are tax collectors and sinners. They'd come along to hear Jesus. And it says the teachers of the law and the Pharisees were also there. The third group, Jesus' disciples are there. They're hanging around, they're following Jesus, they're watching everything that he says and does, they're watching how he responds to people. So when the Pharisees interact with Jesus, they're watching Jesus to see how he would respond. The Message translation for those three verses says this: "By this time, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus, listening intently. The Pharisees and scholars of religion were not pleased, not at all pleased. They growled, 'He takes in sinners and eats meals with them, treating them like they're his old friends.' And their grumbling triggered this story." So who is Jesus addressing? The grumbling of the Pharisees triggered the telling of this story. So Jesus' words were addressed to the people of, what did they say, doubtful reputation. But he was taking this opportunity to respond to the grumbling and the whining of the Pharisees. And just as Nathan used that parable with David to teach him, to rebuke him, Jesus also does that. And I think mostly hoping to correct their attitude. So that's the who's listening, but who are the characters? Who are the people that we see in these parables? Well, I'm going to start with 100 sheep. And in particular, there's one sheep that has the featured role there. Hold on to that point, one sheep. And there's also a man who owns them. Jesus says, actually says, "Suppose one of you owns 100 sheep." And in doing that, he places his hearers, the readers now, us, but each one who hears this story, he places them right into the heart of the story. Suppose you have 100 sheep. Interestingly, he doesn't say, suppose there's a shepherd who's looking after 100 sheep. Here's a sheep story, And there's lots of references in the Bible to sheep, but there's no reference to a shepherd. No doubt, though, in their minds, they would have had images, when you talk about a sheep, of the shepherd. And these people who grew up would have known about the Lord is my shepherd. They would have had references to the Israelites being led by the shepherd themselves as being, we're all like sheep who've gone astray. So I'm sure those images were in their head. The man who owns the sheep, this character, he acts as a shepherd whether he's a shepherd or not, for he goes out, he searches for this one sheep, and when he finds this lamb, he doesn't just drag it back, he puts it on his shoulders and he carries it home. So finally in this parable, the other characters that we hear are the man's neighbours and friends. He mentions them, he says, he calls them together to celebrate, and he says this, which we read a few times and we've sung this morning, rejoice, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. So there's some of the characters. Second parable, in this chapter we have a woman and we have 10 coins, and in particular, one coin who has that feature role. So a woman at that time and in this culture would not have been of great value. But if this crowd was representative of the crowds that followed Jesus and sought after Jesus, we know that there were often women represented there and associated in these crowds. And the woman portrayed here is a major character in this story. And she's a woman of good character. She works hard, she lights a lamp, she sweeps the floor, and she actively searches for this lost coin. And she's the hero of the story. She finds the coin. Hooray. Now, the coin, I suppose, is the character, as the sheep is the character. It doesn't really seem to be that valuable to us, perhaps, a coin. But rather than being a coin that she'd take to market and trade to buy oil or flour, this is more likely to be part of a collection or perhaps even part of a dowry. Now, if you can imagine a necklace or more likely a headpiece that this woman may have worn with 10 coins... If you have that picture in your head, this lovely thing across her head, 10 coins, and the one in the middle is missing. Well, it wrecks the whole thing. She can't go out with an incomplete headpiece on. It's like going out with only one earring on. But to her, this is a more significant thing than I think we can culturally imagine what it was like at that time. So parable one, there was one sheep in 100. The second parable, one coin in 10. So see what's happening here. He's decreasing the whole amount, but it's still just about the one. Now, if you're into statistics, we've gone from 1% to 10%. And again, we see that third character as we did in the first parable. It's the woman's neighbours and friends, and she invites them to celebrate. She says, "Rejoice with me. I've found my lost coin." So our third parable... A father has two sons. One son is lost. This son, this prodigal son, he actually decides, though, to leave. He leaves in home. He's in search of something a bit more, in search of a bit of fun and adventure. So how can we compare these characters, this son with the lamb and with the coin? So the lamb just naturally wanders off, doing what lambs do. He doesn't plot a getaway or say, I'm going to wander off today. It's just perhaps that he's distracted or the grass seems really green and he starts wandering, and before we know it, the flock's gone the other way and here this lamb is lost. He's naturally lost. The coin is accidentally lost. We've all lost things by accident. Anyone here who's never lost anything? I lost my... Tim, you have lost stuff. Friday, I lost my lunch here. Now, I brought it in the morning and I said to Lynette in our office, oh, I've got leftover spaghetti bolognese from last night. It's really yummy. So I knew that it was here. But when it came to lunchtime, it was nowhere to be seen. Nowhere at all. So I went to the kitchen and opened the little fridge, not there. Went to the kitchen at the back, opened the fridge, went to the cold room, came out here. I was searching for about half an hour, no lunch. So Lynette at this stage went searching for my lunch for me. It was in the first fridge, but I don't know how I'd... That probably says more about me than about things that get lost. But we lose things by accident, and that's what happened with this coin. It didn't jump down and leave. It probably fell off, the hook was loose, whatever, rolled away, landed in a corner somewhere. So it was accidentally lost. But this son, he deliberately chooses to become lost. He not only makes that choice, but he, in the process, is dishonoring his father. He basically says, I wish that you were dead. Give me your money now. So the statistics, if we're going back to the statistics, jump from 1% to 10%, and now we're at 50%, one of two. And in doing this, the intensity of these stories builds and builds and builds. The character who finds the lost, in this case, doesn't go out searching. This is the father. He doesn't go out searching for his son, and he doesn't pick him up on his shoulders and carry him home. He doesn't light the lamp and sweep the floor and search the whole house for him. But what he does is he patiently waits. And while he's waiting, he watches out for him. And we know this because when he sees him, he's still a long way off. And his action comes in the form of him running to meet his son. Now, you may remember Derek talking about this not that long ago. And he described the father as he hitched up his robes. And in this most undignified and possibly inappropriate manner, he runs in public and he embraces his son as he celebrates his return. Of course, the Father, although Jesus doesn't state it in this parable, represents God, our Heavenly Father, who welcomes each of us as his children home. But this parable, this third parable, differs in its characters in another way, doesn't it? There's one more. Because now, in this parable, we see the big brother. And the parables all follow this. There is something, it gets lost, we find it, we celebrate it. But this parable has this added ending to it. Because once we get to the celebrating part, the brother is not happy. So who is Jesus addressing in his audience here? We've got the three groups, the tax collectors or the people with a questionable reputation. No, this one is aimed directly at the Pharisees. And I can imagine that they're getting more and more uncomfortable as Jesus does turn up the intensity in this sequence of stories. And just as the man and the woman in our first parables call their friends and their neighbours to celebrate, the father calls his household to celebrate. So the father says to the servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and put sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast. Let's celebrate. One more who question before we finish our who. It's who do you identify with in these stories as you listen? Think on that and we'll come back to it later. Our next question is why? So why search? There's a real belonging or an ownership for the man who lost his sheep, for the lady who lost her coin. But just as those numbers, as I said, intensify, the statistics go up, the connection or the emotion to these objects really ramp it up when we get to the father, because he loves his son much more than you'd love a sheep or a coin. He's missed his son and he runs to welcome him home. Why wouldn't we want to search? Why wouldn't God search? Why celebrate? Let's rejoice, let's celebrate, feast. All of those words are used here. And why? It says, I've found my lost sheep. I've found my lost coin. This son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and now he's found. So these chapters, these parables, they're about lost and found. They're about being alienated and then being reconciled. They're about one and many. But really, they're also about celebrating, rejoicing. Now, I did a search through a few different versions of the Bible to see what headings people, as they revise and they write new translations of the Bible, what headings they'd chosen. And you might have a look in your Bible and see what headings they put next to these sections. Mostly we have the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin. Then it differs, might be the parable of the lost son or the parable of the loving father. There's a few different things there. In the CEV, it says one sheep, one coin, two sons. So it emphasizes the one in that version. In God's word, the parable of the loving father comes in and is emphasized. So it's not talking about the lost son, but it's focusing on the forgiveness of the loving father. But I found in the CEB, which is the Common English Bible, and these are titles put in by people that translate down the years. So it's not something that was originally placed there. This is our interpretation. But it's interesting to see how people put that as a focus. And in the CEB, it has the title, Occasions for Celebration. That's what this chapter is. It's an occasion over and over and over for celebration. And it doesn't have any subheadings. It's just, here's some occasions for celebrations. God loves us, doesn't he? No doubt. Each and every one of us is loved by our Father. He desires for us to be in relationship with him, and he longs for us to come home. And when we do, there's a celebration. Verse 7, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And verse 10, in the same way I tell you there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The entire gospel of Luke, so I was reading through an information book about what is Luke all about, what are their themes. The entire gospel of Luke describes the why of Jesus. And Howard Marshall writes this, Luke can be summarized with this one verse, Luke 19:10. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's it in a nutshell. Why? Why? Because the Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and save the lost. My final question for now is how? How? So God saved us through Jesus, his Son, and he's already done that saving work. When Jesus died on the cross, the saving's done. He did this because he wanted to. He did this because he loves us, for he delights to call us his children. And he wants us to call him, God, our Father. This is a why and a how of salvation. But you might ask, how can I play a part in this ministry of seeking as a follower of Christ? How can I do my part to seek the lost? Now, it may be that you are called to seek far and wide, like the shepherd, to go out and to search. The man who found that one lost sheep. Or you maybe that you're required to be diligent in your own home and in your own place and right where you are. For those who are closest to you. Like the woman who was looking for that coin. Or it may be that you are to wait and to wait patiently and expectantly for the prodigal to come home, just as the father did. Either way, we're called to be persistent in our prayer, be patient, be trusting, be ready for a conversation with someone who is seeking God when God's timing is right. And today, how do we become found if we're lost? Maybe you're doubting or you're wondering, am I lost? Am I found? Where am I in God's kingdom? The Son, he came. Just as he was, he came in his filth from being with the pigs. He came with shame. He came saying sorry. He chose to turn around and to come back and to seek his Father. Jesus is calling, come home. And as the prodigal came home, there was that great celebration. Do you need the assurance to know that you are God's child today, that you are found in him? Ask him. Seek him. There's so much in this chapter and so much in these parables. And as I sat down and read through, I was thinking, wow, isn't it great that we get this Bible, that we get God's word from all the different ways it's come through, the ways it's been passed down through the generations. This inspiration that came, the words of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus here for us, a live, living document here in the Bible. It is a privilege. And I pray that as you look through that yourself and go through and seek those things, that question that we had at the beginning, who do you identify as you read through that? And maybe as you look through that today, there might be something that just tweaks and you want to ask someone and talk about that. I want us to sing a song together that is a song of celebration. It's a song of contrast, a song of opposites. It's a song about lost and found, about blindness and sight. It's a song of God's amazing grace. And we're going to celebrate as we sing that song, as we praise his name and thank him. But today, I wanted to do something different. After we've sung, and we're going to finish, and I'm going to say the benediction, but I want to ask you to consider if you want to come forward, and we're going to set up an area just here for some prayer. Maybe you have some unanswered questions, or you have someone that's come to mind today, or you are wondering, or you want to know assurance that you are found in God. Maybe you have someone that you desperately want to see come home. Now, because of our COVID restrictions, we haven't been offering this time in this place of prayer. We haven't been saying, come forward now and let's pray with you. Well, I'm really keen to do that today. And so we may not all huddle together in one space. And I'll wait till that we've finished. And I want to offer that to you today. I want to offer a time of ministry where we can pray specifically with you. I've asked a couple of people if they would come as well and be available to pray with you. So we're going to sing this song together. We're going to celebrate. We're actually going to stand and sing Amazing Grace together. But think about this. In God's word, he says, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for some purposeful ministry and some prayer in this place. Today is a day of victory in Christ Jesus. And I want to claim that. So I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to sing this together. I'm going to pronounce the benediction. And you know what? We're quite early, so that'll be good. If you want to have a cup of tea and have a chat, please go ahead and do that. But I really do encourage you. If today you think, I really want someone to pray with me about someone in my family. I really want someone to pray with me so that I would know how I can seek those who are closest to me, so that I can encourage them to know Jesus. I really want to know that I am found in Jesus. If you want that today, I'd encourage you, after we finish singing, we have our benediction, please come. And if you want to be praying with people, I'd invite you to come as well. But don't pass up that opportunity. Now, let's sing together this amazing song. It's a song that is not a new song. We were talking before about, you know, when the man wrote this, what's his name? Isaac Newton?
John Newton.
John Newton. Let's add Isaac, John Isaac Newton. I don't know. Well, when he wrote this, this was a classic. You can't really improve on it. But Fred was sharing with us this bit that we've added. I haven't added it. The songwriter's added, my chains are gone. I've been set free. Hallelujah. It's all a great song of celebration. Let's stand together and let's join in singing this with our great hearts.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love. Soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. Like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
A benediction to leave with you. Then, as I said, I'd invite you, if you'd like, to come and pray. May the extravagant love of God the Father fill our hearts and minds, and His embrace hold us when we feel unworthy to be called His children. May the friendship of Jesus, our companion, rid us of any notion that we are nothing, and may we find our home with Him in His kingdom. May the Spirit of life release us from a world of duty so that a new joy wells up in our lives. Let us go now. Let's reconfigure the world in our friendships, in our workplaces, in our families, in our streets, in our world. Go proclaim the story of our Christ, serving in the name of our Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.